Good morning. How are you on this beautiful day? Something's going to get you. It's the title of my message today. There is more to that, but I thought that that would be a good catchy title just to get your attention to start with. Let's read from Hebrews chapter 9, still part of my Limitless Living series, part number 8. And it might sound as if it's not a very exciting topic, but I think it actually is. Might be a bit grim to start with, but it's actually a very exciting topic that Chris has actually introduced, which I always find interesting with those who do communion, because oftentimes they introduce the messages. You actually use one of my passages of scripture, Chris, which is great. So you've already done the introduction to my message. Hebrews chapter 9, reading out of the New English Translation. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with hands, the representation of the true sanctuary, but into heaven itself, and he appears now in God's presence for us. And he did not enter to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the sanctuary year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world, but now he has appeared once and for all at the consummation of the ages, to put away sin, to put away sin by his sacrifice. And just as people are appointed to die once and then to face judgment, so also after Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly await him, he will appear a second time. Death, not a good topic. Not fun to talk about. Not many of us like to talk about death. But the reality of life, the one thing that each and every one of us are going to have to face, and that is totally inevitable, is that we will die. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, "You are dying." That's not nice, is it? People are appointed once to die, or to die once, as Hebrews 9:27. Death is inescapable, and you just can't really choose the method. Obviously, if you want to precipitate death upon yourself, you might be able to choose the time, the place, the method, but most of us tend to try to stay alive as long as we can. But the reality of life and the reality for every single one of us is that something's going to get you. Might be a drunk driver, might be sickness or disease or simply old age. The other day on Friday, I went to visit this old lady, 94 years old, French. She wanted to have communion with Lawrence and I, so we went and had communion with her in a nursing home. And poor lady, a week ago, had a little bit of a heart attack, but she's back, and she told us, you know, it wasn't a scare as far as I'm concerned. I didn't want to come back. I was ready to go home. I want to go see my daughter. She only had one daughter, and her daughter went before her. She says, "I want to go see my daughter." The reality of death is that it's the same for everyone. It's actually the great leveler of the humankind. No matter how pompous your funeral is, when you're dead, you won't look any richer than the homeless guy who died under a bridge in some city last night about the same time you died of a heart attack in the most expensive hospital in town. Once you die, you'll die, and we all look the same. And we all are really as rich as the guy next door because we've got nothing. The bad news about death, or the bad news, was that all died because of Adam. Really, the culprits of all of this are Adam and Eve. Now, I can't really speculate about whether Adam and Eve were going to die in the first place or not. That's really not the purpose of my message. But the reality is, as a result of their disobedience, Genesis 2:17. "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall die." And we all know the story. Because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, death came upon the human race. Every single individual since Adam, The Bible makes it clear, everyone must die. Since Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, in Adam, all die. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. The result of Adam and Eve's disobedience is that all die. And the reason why it is bad news is because death was, and I put that in the past tense, even though it's very difficult to explain this whole tense thing, is really how long did Satan have control over death? I don't know. But death was the domain that was ruled by Satan. Hebrews 2:14 says, only by dying could he, Jesus, break the power of the devil who had power of death. He had the power over death. Now, what kind of death am I talking about today? There's no distinction in my mind. Death is death. Whether we talk about spiritual death or whether we talk about physical death, the reality is that physical death is also spiritual death when there is no hope. Whether you die spiritually or you die physically, the moment you are dead, the moment you drop dead, no matter how it happens, and it's going to happen to every one of us because my title says something's going to get you. No matter how it happens, the moment you drop dead, you're dead. And I don't, you know, whether it's physical or spiritual, when there is no hope, it is spiritual as well. And that's exactly what our problem was. Death is final and without hope, without Christ. And I have to add without Christ. I've got to add without Christ because the reality of Christ is that what he did and what he fulfilled at Calvary covers all the history of mankind. The gospel, Jesus, the cross, the burial, the going down into the grave, into death, and the resurrection from the dead is the main event of all time. What Christ did 2,000 years ago, he didn't just do for that one moment in time. He did it for all of mankind, ever since Adam and Eve, to the last person who will ever live. Jesus died for all. He went down into the grave for all. He rose from the dead for all. And what he did at that moment actually covers all of human history for all time. The reason, what sustains the history of mankind is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What makes this world exist and stays into the in reality the way it is today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is sustained outside of Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the centrality of everything, Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to get that into our heads. It wasn't just something that happened historically. It's an event that covers all of mankind for all time. But now he has appeared for all at the consummation of ages to put away sin by his sacrifice, we read. Hebrews chapter 2:14. Can you put it the next? Yeah, because now I've added everything, the context of it. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. What an incredible scripture. What an incredible scripture. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Without the gospel, death is final. But the gospel comes into the picture for all men over all time. Without the gospel, death is final, death is terminal, death is fatal, death is without hope for anybody. 1 Corinthians 15:22, we read, in Adam all died. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men. It is final, it is terminal, it is without hope if there isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death was final because Satan had power over death. Death was final and without hope because Satan ruled that domain called death. Yes, the reality is something's going to get you. You will die of some cause someday. You will drop dead, and when you're dead, you're dead. But the important thing, the overarching reality of all of mankind's history is that Christ died the death we should have died. The one that separates us from God. Christ died that death. He took control of that death. He took control of that domain. And he did it for all human beings that ever lived. Christ went into the grave for all of us. And he resurrected for all of us. Hebrews 10:12. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. One sacrifice for all time. He doesn't need to go back year after year after year after year. It's been done, and it's done for all, and it's done for all time. Christ takes the finality away. He takes the terminality of death away. The separation away, and he brings hope. I just want to read a whole lot of scripture right now, because these are, you know, let the Bible speak for itself. Let the Bible preach to you right now. Christ was victorious over death. Revelations 1:18, and I had to cut a lot of these out because there was so many scriptures that are just so amazing about what Christ did for us. I am he who lives, Revelations 1:18, and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen. And I have the keys of death, of Hades and of death. Jesus has the keys. He has control over that domain called death. That's why he frees us from being slaves to the fear of death. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. 1 Corinthians 15:54-55, so when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Something's going to get you. But I can tell you one thing, Christ has already got it. And he's got the victory. We are made, next slide, we are made alive in Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. Ephesians 2:3-5, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. The next slide, please. All resurrecting Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Acts 24:14. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. You know, the reason why there is resurrection, even if it's of the just and the unjust, the reason why there's resurrection is because Christ resurrected from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by one man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Death isn't final. There's no full stop. It's not a domain that is controlled by Satan anymore. There is more than hope in death. There is the offering of grace in death because of what Christ did for us. Something's going to get you, but it's not final. Hebrews 2:15, only this way could he set set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We do not need to live our life with any thought about this issue of dying. Yes, I am going to die. I know that. One day I'm going to drop dead and I'm going to be set free from this body and resurrect with a glorious body. One that might be a little bit taller. One that might have hair. I don't know. And if God wants me to resurrect like this, then so be it. He's got my best interest at heart. I might say this might be a little bit of a design flaw in the resurrected body to look exactly like this. But if that's what God wants for me, I'll accept it. And French? Yeah, well, the French side of things never goes away. When you resurrect... You're going to resurrect into a nationality. You're going to resurrect into a language. And there are different castes in heaven, and the language you speak will determine the caste you go into. That part is not in the Bible. There's no scriptural evidence for that part there. So why do we fear death? Well, there's two reasons. We've talked about the first one, already. The first reason we fear death is because Satan cons us into believing he's still in charge of that dominion. He wants us to believe that he's going to get us, that he's still in charge of that place. But the other reason, which is going to be the second part of my message now, is that we fear death because of judgment. We fear death because we fear the judgment of God. And we read it in our scripture, in introduction. Just as people are appointed to die once and then to face judgment. And as soon as we read that path, then to face judgment, we begin to fear. We begin to worry about what that judgment is all about. Hebrews 2:15. I'm going to keep reading it. He has set us free. He has set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So why fear? Why even fear judgment if Jesus Christ and the purpose, one of the purposes of his death, is so that we could be set free from the fear of dying? We don't need to fear Satan because Jesus Christ is now in control of that domain called death. But we fear judgment. We have a negative view of the judgment of God. We have a legalistic and a damnation view of judgment. But what if the good news, which it is the good news, what if the good news is that all the judging of our sins has already been done? What if that's part of the good news? The Bible clearly tells us that in Christ's death, all the sins that have ever been committed have been judged. Hebrews 9:26, but now he has appeared once for all at the consummation of the ages to put away sin by his sacrifice. He has dealt with sin at the consummation of ages. When he died on the cross, he has dealt with sin for all time. And God is a righteous judge. Have you ever heard of double jeopardy? God won't judge you for the sins that have already been judged. And this is a truth that extends to Christians and it extends to everybody. God has judged sin. It has been judged. And Jesus also clearly tells us that he's not in the business of judging the way we legally think judgment should occur. John 3:17, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he said, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When we evangelize, we like using John 3:16. Why don't we continue with John 3:17? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For me, that's the great news. God didn't come to condemn you. God's not here to judge you. Jesus came into the world because his only heart, his only purpose, the only thing that drives him is that he would not condemn us, but that the world through him might be saved. So what judgment are we talking about? What judgment are we afraid of? If Jesus Christ came to set us free from the fear of dying, and we think that dying and what we fear about is judgment, then what judgment are we afraid of? Our sins have been judged. So judgment cannot be on the basis of the sins we've committed. All sins that we've committed and never will commit have been judged at the cross for all time. So what's the judgment and what should we be afraid of? Well, the word judgment in the Greek actually is the word crisis. K-R-I-S-I-S, crisis, which actually means, directly translated, crisis. See, I can read Greek. And decision. Because when there's a crisis, there's a decision, right? When you come to a crisis in your life, now some of you guys are going through midlife crisis. There's a decision in life you're going to have to make. Get a hold of yourself. Where was I? That's not in my notes. Sometimes there's some things that just come out, they just pop in my head. I've got to learn how to submit them to the obedience of Jesus Christ. God has given to each human being the same opportunity. The same opportunity. Now, the reality is that all the opportunities of life that are materialistic and all of that stuff, it's all secondary. Okay, it's not as important as this same opportunity. When you die, your social class is out the window, your possessions, you've lost it all, your nice suits, your cars, you don't have it, it just levels us. We all get to the other side. We all look the same, except for with glorified bodies. But the truth of the matter is when we die, all of the secondary stuff is really not important. But what God has given to everybody in this life is the same for every person, and it doesn't change. He gives us the same opportunity. All sins are forgiven. Grace is offered to all on the same criteria, which is the sacrifice of Christ. You know the word judgment seat? It's one word in the Greek. It actually is the word criterion, which we use in the English for criteria. See how much of a Greek scholar I am? The judgment seat of Christ points to the criteria used for judgment: Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So from God's point of view, judgment is done. Grace is predestined to all. I believe in predestination. I believe that every single person is predestined to salvation. Because Christ did it for all. Which part of all do we not understand? 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of death. How many people escaped death from the Adam's death? How many people escaped? How many people were left out from the all statement when we say all die because of Adam? How many people escaped that? Do you know of anybody who escaped that death? Two people in the Bible. They're going to have to come back, right? Yeah, so they won't escape it. There's two people in the Bible. Nobody escapes Adam's death. So when the Bible says that Christ died and gives life to everybody, how many people does that include? Or do we exclude some people from it? No. It includes everybody. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. That includes every single person, including your neighbor next door whose dog barks loud all the time and they party every night and he brings in all sorts of weird friends. My goodness. So what's the judgment? Here's the thing. Right from the beginning of the Bible, there is a theme that comes through all the way to the end. God has bestowed upon all human beings, every single one of us, one very powerful characteristic, the power to choose. It's called free will. Since your birth, my friend, God has been placing himself in the courtroom of your life, presenting Christ as the evidence of his case, and he declares, choose. God will never force himself upon anybody. Death came through Adam, and I can tell you one thing, the devil, he's not going to ask you. He's not going to give you a choice. But the good news is, Christ, God, has already judged sin. He's already done it all. There's nothing that you need to do to earn it, to receive it. Christ has paid the price. The sin has been judged. But now he offers grace and he says, choose. And that's the theme that comes throughout. Even in the Old Testament, God did the same thing with the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 13, verse 19. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death. Free will never be violated. When we come before God, we will come before God all with a sound mind, not a sound body because we'll be dead, but a sound mind. And our choice, the choice that we have made, is the choice upon which we will be judged. Choose this day. Choose today. Now I call on heaven, between life and death, between blessings and cursings, now I call on heaven and on earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life. Oh, that you would choose life. Something's going to get you. But choose life. Grace is for all. Life is for all. Resurrection is for all. Heaven is for all. And if you miss out on heaven, it will not be based on God's judgment of your sins. It will be based on your rejection of God's grace, based on your own personal free will decision to reject it. You have only one thing to do to enter into rest. Accept or reject, believe or refuse. I know what God's heart is. I know what God wants. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's heart. That the default for God is life. Choose life. I want life for you. I'm not here to condemn you. God isn't angry. That's the good news. God is not angry with you. You know, I was reading in Luke, you know, when the angels came to heaven and sang to the shepherds about the announcing the good news of the birth of Jesus. We all know it. We sing it at Christmas, but I read it in the New American Standard Version, and it's translated this way: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Goodwill to all men. God's not saying, well, I'm sending my son, but I'm angry with them. God is not angry. He is pleased with mankind because one man, Christ Jesus, at the fullness of time, paid the price for all men and all time. at the cross. So new birth. Let me finish with new birth today. At new birth, you know what we do when we are born again? We accept the inevitability of our death and we embrace it by dying and resurrecting in Christ. You know, I've already died. You're looking at a person who is dead. I died at the age of 13. It wasn't very violent. It was voluntary. They put me in a tub and drowned me. And they spoke words over me in Jesus' name. Boom. And I came out again. And I resurrected. The life that I now live is not the ordinary life that I lived up until the moment I was baptized. What I did is that I brought forward. I don't know when I'm going to die. I hope I'm going to, you know, continue to live on. And I look at Pastor Roxy and I say, wow, you know, and that lady I visited at 94, and poor lady, she really wants to go. But I see Pastor Oxley and he's so fit and full on. I want to live on. I really want to live on. I don't know when it's that when I'm going to physically drop dead, but I know that I brought that moment forward in my life the moment I was baptized. I've embraced it. I've accepted the inevitability of my death in Christ, but also accepted the resurrection in Christ. The only thing is that he still hasn't given me the new body part that he left out. I didn't come out a few inches taller. I prayed for it. I said, God, you know, give me a resurrected body when I resurrect from the waters. But it didn't happen. You know, just like the waters of Tasmania. We've died and we've resurrected already in our baptism, which has sacramentalized our own real death and our real resurrection in Christ. We've brought it all forward so now we can live life in the limitless living of Christ. We are not alive as in the life we lived when we first entered into this world. We are alive in the resurrection newness of life. We are living today in a resurrected life because we really died. Something got us. You know, something's going to get you. You might as well let it happen now. And it was Christ who got me. Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. We read in introduction, people are appointed once to die and then to face judgment. Well, I can tell you, I have died in Christ and I face judgment in Christ already. My sins were nailed to the cross and I've accepted his provision for me. I have made my free will decision to the offering of grace. Yes, I will take it. Yes, I will accept it. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I've accepted this provision for me. I've made my decision. Now I can live life to the full, limitless living. So, the last word for today, choose ye this day. Choose life rather than death. Why don't we stand? Father, would we, that we accept today the truth that the life that we live today is in you, is in Christ. That the offering that you have for us is that we can live life without the fear of death and the fear of dying, without the fear of what happens beyond after that, without the fear of judgment, without the fear of you knocking us on the head because we got things wrong. We know that you've got things right for us and that you have provision of life and life abundantly for every single one of us. I pray today that your word would bring forth life in every single one of our lives today. That this whole issue of death and the fear of it would be dealt with once and for all as we keep our eyes fixed on what Christ did for us, and so that we can live today in the bonus of knowing that we're living by faith in Jesus Christ. I pray for that in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. Tonight, Graham is speaking and he's continuing the series on the gifts of the Spirit, gift of healing, gift of faith, and gift of miracles. And I tell you, this series has been really exciting. So why don't you come?